This is Sports Saturday with Mick Schaefer on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
We're back here, final hour of Sports Saturday. 60 more minutes left to go. And we're going to spend, I don't know, 15, 20 of it with Tim Fitzgerald of GoPowerCat.com, who joins us. Have you woken up yet, Tim?
I'm awake.
Good,
I'm
nice.
Well.
That's an upset.
It's so early for me.
It is. You're in town still, huh?
Yeah. I'm asleep here in beautiful Kansas City, Missouri.
Good for you. You did the Jazzoo last night, right?
Yes, along with 5,000 other people.
How was that with 5,000 other people?
And a surprisingly lack of animals. They apparently go to bed early. I didn't know that about
animals. Do they turn in early? They're unlike humans?
It's a good gig.
If you can get it.
Yeah, it's a good gig. You just, you walk around a little bit, get fed. The only problem is you're kind of caged up, but then you get to go to bed early.
Would you sign up for that, maybe?
Put the otters away, Mick. They put the otters away.
Who
puts otters away at 7 o'clock?
I have no idea. Is that one of your favorites, the otters?
Oh, yes.
I didn't know
every
that
time,
was...
I stare at the otters and try to pick my favorite. And I'm like, I don't know. Do I like this one or the otter one?
Oh, my God. That is so bad. Is it too late? Can we hang up on Tim now? Can
joke.
We do that? Okay.
Yes, the dad joke.
If I had anything else planned, I totally would. Not only that, but it was K-State night at the K last night.
Yeah, it was a big choice.
It was a tough one for you.
If I'd known the otters were going to be penned up, I might have picked K-State.
What about
if I'd known Jason Vargas was going to pitch that way, I probably would have gone out there.
That's pretty good as well. What about the timing of that, too? You have K-State not at the K, when, of course, all this Corey Sutton news is happening, and Gene Taylor just happened to be there.
Yeah, that was interesting. I think Gene Taylor has handled this pretty well.
He has.
Coach Snyder certainly encountered some rough waters with this. Yeah. At the end of the day, K-State did the right thing. I completely get both sides of this.
Yeah.
I understand why coaches want to make it difficult for kids to transfer, because we've all been kids before. We've all had those days when we just want to quit and move on. And I understand that coaches don't want a kid just to, have a bad practice and want to transfer and just leave. They want to make it, make sure they're going to do it. But I think K-State went way too far on this. If a kid really wants to leave school, let them leave. I don't even think universities should be able to block any schools on the transfer list.
Right.
I think if a kid transfers, it should just be an open transfer that they're released from their scholarship.
Do you think it would still be going on had Bill Snyder not slipped up with the drug test comment?
Yeah, I do. Coach, there's something more at work here. There's apparently more to the other side of the story, but they're refusing to say it, so it really doesn't help them that there's more to it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But my sense here, Mick, that Corey Sutton turned into a tool for Bill Snyder to express his displeasure with John Curry one more time, because, for umpteen years, it was two strikes and you're out with his drug policy, and John Curry made it department-wide three strikes, you're out. And I think Bill Snyder is still bitter about that. He feels like it created a more permissive atmosphere with drug usage amongst the athletes, amongst his players. And as it turns out from what he said, Corey Sutton was a player that would have been gone but wasn't gone. And so your logic says, we'll just let him go then, if he wouldn't have been on your team anyhow. But Bill Snyder's was almost reacting like, well, you made me have him. Damn it, I'm going to have him. He's not going anywhere. And I felt like he was almost still fighting a fight with John Curry that he's already won. John Curry's gone. I know the two really had a horrible relationship, but I think it's kind of poisoned some other things now, and it's unfortunate to see Coach do that.
How good of a player was Corey Sutton? I vaguely remember him from last year, but was he going to be part of the plans here moving forward for this this K-State team?
Possibility. If he certainly, you know, if you're good enough to play as a true freshman at Kansas State, you've got something going on. You know, they just don't do that very often. And they had two receivers last year, and part of it was a need, but that they played as true freshmen. Neither one of them played very much, you know, as much as probably you would think for pulling their redshirt. I suspected they were going to redshirt one or both this year because they've picked up some more players and they've had some guys come along. At the end of the day, the problem was Corey Sutton came out of spring practice farther down on the receiver pecking order than he was last year as a true freshman, and he wanted to escape and move on. So I don't know if he was going to ever work hard enough. And if you read what, you know, he was saying, it sounded like he just couldn't handle the demands of being a football player at Kansas State at the end of the day, because it's not easy. You don't take three-star players and beat five-star players, you know, by chance. You do it by outworking people, and that level of work isn't cut out for everyone. So I think he could be very good at some point, but it's now up to him, and I just don't think he was going to work hard enough at Kansas State to get to where he needed to be.
We're talking with Tim Fitzgerald here of GoPowerCat.com. You mentioned Gene Taylor. He has been out front with this issue and others in his short time at Kansas State. What are your takeaways from the new AD so far?
I think he's the right guy for the time. You know, I think everything's so soured with John Curry at the end, his relationships with the coaching staff at Kansas State. I don't think your typical fan is really plugged into how bad it got. And I'm not talking just Bill Snyder and what went around Frank Martin. He had a general attitude of making sure every one of his coaches, even the ones he hired, knew that he was the boss at all times and that he was watching. And if they slipped up, you know, he was one of those bosses. I'm watching you. If you mess up, I'm all over you. And it's just kind of a poisonous atmosphere at the end of the day, and people were really worn out by it. And if you listen to the press conference, that was a big theme of why Gene Taylor was hired, was his ability to work with coaches. So I think that was something the president heard quite a bit of in the process. Seems like a really good guy. Seems like when I met with him privately, it sounds like he is eager to make hires. You know, he's not, you know, looking forward. It's not like he wants them open, but he's not going to shy away from the fact he's got to make a hire, which John Curry just didn't want to do. He didn't want to hire a basketball coach. He didn't really want to hire a football coach. He was trying to get out before any of those things happened. You know, that's a big part of the job. And if you're not ready to do those things, then maybe you're not cut out for the job. And I think Gene Taylor's, when the time comes, he's ready to hire, you know, some big-name coaches if that's what he needs to do.
And what's his next hire going to be then?
I think it'll be football. At the very least, I think this will be Bill Snyder's last season. You know, and there's some speculation that he won't even make it to this upcoming season. But I think one of the things we saw from this was Coach Snyder is seemingly in a little bit better health in terms of energy, and he's had his moments where you could really tell he's sick from his cancer treatments, but I think he's in pretty good shape right now. He's getting better, and I think he'll be ready to go for the season, and I think this will probably be it. He really likes this team. You know, the Corey Sutton situation aside, he likes this group of kids because they work so hard, because they really dig in and are ready to earn it. And we've got an article up on our site right now about how summer workout started yesterday right before the Kansas City Cat-Packers stuff, and 2 days ago before the Kansas City Cat-Packers stuff, and how the kids have really embraced it, and they came in already in shape and got after it. So I think Bill Snyder's excited about this team and the potential of this season. Guys, I think a lot of the media, both regional and national, are really sleeping on Kansas State. I think this team could be really, really good and contend for a Big 12 title.
I do too, and I think this is a team that could, for 2 years, because a lot of, it's not like all these good players are seniors this year. A lot of big junior class. I think this is going to be a good team for 2 years. But you still think that this year will be Coach Snyder's last?
Yeah, you know, it kind of fits the profile of what he said when he wanted to pass it off, that he wanted to pass off a team that was a program that was in really good shape, and, you know, he wanted to give the new coach a running start. Sounds like he wants that new coach to be his son. I don't know if that will happen. But so that seems to fit the profile. This gives him a shot one more time at a conference title, and then next year, 2018, like you said, I mean, this team is still sophomore and junior laden. Even Jesse Ertz is listed as a senior, but is expected to get a medical hardship season, so he's kind of functionally a junior too. So I think 2018, this team could be very good also, and maybe that is the perfect time for him to pass it off to someone to really get a good start.
We're talking with Tim Fitzgerald, GoPowerCat.com. What's up on the site these days? What's going on in a slow, early June these days for you guys over in Manhappiness?
Well, you know, earlier this year we made the painful decision to shut down our magazine, PowerCat Illustrated, which was in its 19th year, and we just kind of ran out of fundage, if that's a word, to keep it going.
Looking it up.
Look that up. If not, I created that word. One of the cool things we did in the magazine, at the end of the year, we always gave out what we called our PI Premier Awards, which there's 12 different awards, you know, for K-State Athletics: Athlete of the Year, Breakthrough Athlete of the Year, Male, Female, Coach of the Year, Administrator of the Year. So there's 12 different awards. Well, we shifted that over to the website, and I think they're cool little features. And in fact, we're putting them up as free content since they were, you know, a new thing from the magazine days, so that everyone can read them. So there's our Breakthrough Athletes of the Year have been the content this weekend. And on the male side, it's DJ Reed from football, of course, who, you know, kind of came out of nowhere to become an all Big 12 caliber quarterback. And then Tatum Wagner for women's soccer in the first year of soccer, a transfer that came into Kansas State, really had a big season for the Wildcats. So she's the female Breakthrough Athlete of the Year. So a lot of that going on. We've got athletic administrator of the year, going up tomorrow and culminating through the end of next week, Thursday, Friday, with our athletes of the year, male and female.
And do we know who they're going to be?
Well, I do, Nick. But
you're
not
going to release it now? How about a hint? You're going to get a hint,
Tim? I think you could probably
Tim?
Guess the male athlete of the year. Kind of a big deal.
Kind of a big deal? Maybe. I guess I could. I had to think.
From Rockhurst High School.
Oh, yes, yes, now playing professionally, or very soon be playing professionally. Okay, I like that. Okay, that's a good enough hint there. Hey, before we let you go, who's your starting three for your 3-on-3 Olympic basketball team, if that happens?
I got to pick a 3-on-3 Olympic basketball. Is there going to be 3-on-3 basketball?
That's the word. They're thinking about it, 2020.
Why would they do that, Nick? Why? What's the purpose of that?
That's a good question, because there's a lot of sports that aren't included in the Olympics that you'd think, okay, that should be there before kind of a perversion of basketball. Maybe perversion is the wrong word, because I think it'd be cool to watch.
No, it is.
But it's not the game. It's not the sport. If you're going to do that with soccer, right? How about like 6-on-6 soccer, smaller field, offsides isn't a rule? I'd watch that.
Well, and you could have each team has an archer and could, like, pick players off. I think that'd make it fun.
Yeah, that'd be very nice.
I like adding in the dynamic of people actually not, you know, being injured. 3-on-3 basketball. I think they should make it like an over 40 league, like 3-on-3 basketball in town would probably be. boy. I mean, if you rolled out there with Curry, Durant, and LeBron, I mean, who's going to top that?
I mean, you know. Yeah, I've got
who's going to be better than that?
I've got I've got Durant and LeBron definitely in my starting three. All right. Good stuff, Tim. We appreciate the time, man. Hope you had fun at Jazzu and not going to K-State and at the K. Travel safely back to Manhattan happiness.
Yeah, we're staying another night. We're going to be here. If there's a crime spree tonight, it's my wife, Becky. She's gotten out of control.
We got a suspect already?
Kansas City. It's disgusting.
Nice. I like it. Tim Fitzgerald of Go Power Cap.
I mean, it's clearly pointing to her criminal ways.
Yes, indeed. All right, man. Hey, thanks so much for the time. We appreciate it. We will chat with you shortly. There's Tim. A delay there at times there between cell phone and us here, even though he's in Kansas City. You know, he's right here. All right, that's our segment. When we come back, we will talk more Chiefs. Jeremy Maclin release. Take your phone calls, 913-3810-810. Your thoughts on that. Your thoughts on the Royals. Cody Tapp coming up as well later on right here on Sports Saturday.
This is Sports Saturday with Mick Schaefer on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
We continue the K-State talk here in the final hour of Sports Saturday. I'm Mick Schaefer. Josh Briscoe is here. Charlie Carlin was here. I don't know. Where's the producer? Just hanging out. Good chatting with Tim Fitzgerald. Of Go Power Cat, we bring on now Derek Haglund of Sports Radio 810. You were out there, Derek, yesterday getting that reaction from
Of Go Power Cat, we bring on now
from Gene Taylor.
Hold on a second. Derek.
The guy,
Derek,
the radio guy.
Derek, I know you
can't hear
me.
His radio
we
down.
Can't hear you because I turned you down. Turn your radio off.
I'm sorry.
Unprofessional move.
Sorry. I apologize, Josh.
You're not sorry enough.
I'm not at the level that you are.
I'm a consummate professional.
I'm sorry. I didn't just graduate college last month. I apologize.
I did it.
Good job.
I'm done. I learned how to turn my radio off whenever I'm doing an interview.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, it was one of my intro to freshman classes, freshman seminar.
I never had to be told that, really. Obvious.
Some people have to be told it, apparently.
Yeah, there's a 7-second delay, apparently, because of, you know, the dump button and people like me. So anyway, right there, Derek, how was it out there at K-State and I at the K?
It was cool. The thing that was different, I know you just had Fitz on. The thing that was different was, you know, I walked in there and I was getting Royals pregame yesterday, and we got told, not last minute, but kind of quickly, hey, Gene Taylor's going to talk a little bit before 5 o'clock. So it was like, oh, well, you know, Corey Sutton's already been released. This is a perfect time. I don't know. I assume they're planning this, but you couldn't have picked a better time and day for K-State night at the K to happen, especially with some of the stuff and the turmoil that's been going on involving, obviously, Corey Sutton and Coach Snyder and the university itself.
So it seems like Gene Taylor is, you know, a guy that, you know, stand-up guy. He's facing the music in this whole thing. How'd he come across to you?
To me, honestly, the thing that I think he's a great guy, I think he's going to be great for Kansas State. What caught me a little off guard, and it wasn't bad, was he was more open and honest than I think I was expecting him to be, especially when Karen Kornacki yesterday asked him about, you know, there was the slip up with, obviously, you know, hey, whether Coach Snyder the other night was referring to Corey Sutton or not, and he had the slip up about the drug test comment, and he answered, you know, yeah, we've talked to them. Hopefully they're not going to take legal action and come after us with a lawsuit or anything like that. That was something that caught me off guard. I thought that was definitely a question that was going to get dodged. And then obviously I was asking, we were all curious, you know, why is it that K-State is so tough for, you know, stick to their guns on this about making the commitment. I said, you know, is this going to be a policy you're going to try to have going forward too? Because obviously, you know, Coach Snyder's time is coming to an end, whether it be at the end of this year or next year in 2018. But it was one of those things where he said it's going to depend on the coach. But I think it's kind of hard. I mean, you know, like Fitz said, I understand both sides of it. But, you know, I know Dalvin Wormack, too, from what I've heard a couple times, has tried to get out of K-State. I mean, Mick, you know who he is. He was a guy who was a two-time Simone Award winner in high school, and he hasn't been able to go. You know, sometimes it's just not a good fit for kids. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, the school just doesn't fit. You fall in love with it, and it's great, and you think all this stuff's going to happen. And then you get there, and then, you know, stuff doesn't go your way, and not necessarily that you're nitpicking, but, you know, maybe you do get homesick. Maybe you do not necessarily think things were going to go the way that they had or what you had hoped or planned.
Yeah, I think that happens with probably most athletes, the majority of athletes. You get that homesickness that things don't go the way it's planned. Coaches are all over your butt. You're not expecting it. You're not getting the playing time you want. And I think that's probably part of Bill Snyder's train of thought is, that, okay, this is how it works, but guess what? It's going to get better next year and the year after that. And what you don't realize is that this is the right place for you. And I think that's probably part of his side from it. You were out there. You got the reaction from Gene Taylor. So let's play some of the from the sound from Gene Taylor last night at Kauffman Stadium.
Coach, big news today involving one of your former players who wanted to transfer. Can you talk about the decision and what went into it?
Yeah, you know, I talked to Coach this morning, and we talked through kind of the options for Corey. And at the end of the day, we just felt we needed to kind of let Corey go and move on. And Coach was in agreement with that. And, you know, certainly talked to Corey's family and, you know, got their sense of what they would like to see. And so, talked to Coach. We felt it was just best for him to have a chance to go play somewhere else, and it worked out. And, you know, certainly Coach talked about his comments, and we worked through that, and then that's the decision we came to.
The comments, was it pretty much the idea that he didn't like people transferring, or the work ethic, or the comment he used to explain, you know, the new policy with drug testing? What were the comments specifically that the apology was for?
Corey's family felt in particular that it was the comments about the drug testing, and they were concerned about that, and they were concerned that it, you know, some privacy issues. And so, you know, at the end of the day, talked to Coach, and he agreed and felt bad that they were tied together. And so we said, you know, Corey, it's probably best. And he was fine with that. He still is true to his convictions that if you come to K-State and sign a letter of agreement, you're going to play here and stay here. And this one just, it took a little different twist at the end of the day.
So this is the exception, not the rule.
With Coach, yeah, I would say this, every situation's different, and I think Coach would probably, I think there's probably been guys that have left, and there's been, you know, extenuating circumstances, and I'm not, again, I've been here a month, so I don't know, this is my first athlete that's asked to transfer, so, but I would say, and every coach different, every situation is different, in places I've been, it's the same thing, it's not always as black and white and cut and dried as everybody would like it to be. And you know, Coach has a baseline of where he starts, and I think he probably makes adjustments with that based on the situation. And that's what we did this time.
Is it still understood that he is going to choose from the schools of the list he gave you rather than any place in the universe?
Yeah, that's what we agreed with Corey and his family. Those were the schools he wanted to pick. I think there were 37 of them. And so we sent that release to all those schools today, and that's the schools that we confirmed that he'll get a chance to talk to.
There's Gene Taylor yesterday out at Kauffman Stadium. The first part of his interview, Derek, and he went on to talk about for about 10 minutes, correct?
Yeah, he talked for about 10 minutes. I thought, you know, they had one of the PR guys that was there. I thought there were going to be some stuff that was off limits, and I didn't think he was going to talk that long at all. And we didn't get to it. One of the things that I wanted to ask was, because we were thinking about it yesterday before I was, at least before Gene Taylor even announced that he was going to speak at K-State United with a K, is, you know, it's hard to think about two guys that have gone from and transferred from K-State. You know, one of the guys, we were talking with Petro yesterday, and I brought the name up because it was one of the only ones that I thought of, kids that have actually transferred from K-State and will play at bigger schools, meaning schools that are in the Power Five. And the kid that came to mind for me the most recently, and that anyone could think of, was Caleb Pruitt from Blue Springs. He's going to play this year at the University of Missouri. He was in that recruiting class that went to K-State and part of those Blue Springs teams that won two state championships back-to-back years, but that had Elijah Lee and Dalvin Wormack, and they all went to K-State together. I mean, guys just don't transfer from K-State or aren't allowed. I don't know why Caleb did or why he was allowed or what happened 100% of the way. I've heard a couple of different stories, but I mean, it's hard to think of, hey, guys leaving and going and transferring or attempting to transfer. Obviously, the Bryce Brown one stands out there, but he tried to transfer, and then he just decided to turn pro.
Yeah, exactly. We're talking with Derek Haglund about this Kansas State situation. So it sounds like, you know, this was, you know, Coach Snyder was set on playing hardball here until he kind of messed up and made those comments, and they realized, oh, well, we better give this kid his release, otherwise we could face some sort of HIPAA lawsuit or something like that. Is that how you're taking it?
Yeah, that's the exact way that I take it, because I was talking with Blair Kirkhoff yesterday, too, who was there. He wasn't there when Gene Taylor spoke, but Blair and I were talking, and I wasn't aware 100% of the rule, but under any circumstances, really, no matter what, is no one associated with the school allowed to say, whether they're a coach or an administrator or anything, are they allowed to say that a kid or a student or an athlete has failed the drug test publicly? Like, they're not allowed to say that. That's an invasion of privacy type thing. I forget the exact term, but that's exactly why, for the most part, Corey had not heard, from what I was told by some of my K-State people, he had not heard about what Coach Snyder said until yesterday, when a couple people reached out to him and said, you know, well, with him saying that comment and then hearing it, that's kind of an invasion of my privacy. And that's something that he can't say, whether he was talking about him or another player. But, I mean, we all assume that that's what Coach Snyder and who Coach Snyder was referring to.
Yeah, and I remember there was some debate as to whether he said him or there's somebody, talking about maybe somebody else. But
I think he said, like, here's a youngster
that
has failed two drug tests and he's still a part of our program.
Yes. It reminds me of the Tom Penders deal back in the late 90s. That's how Luke Axtell ended up at KU, or at least in that process of him transferring to KU. He mentioned substance abuse problems with Luke Axtell, and Tommy Penders got in big trouble for that.
Right.
So kind of a similar situation. And it's funny how this whole story swung, because, I mean, this is the kid that publicly on Twitter called, or at least compared, Bill Snyder to a slave owner, to where in the court of public opinion, that one didn't sit well. But immediately it all swings in favor, you know, of him after his personal relation, you know, personal stuff is revealed. So it's funny, in just a matter of a couple days, how, I don't know, public perception of this whole saga shifted gears.
Yeah, and that's what's crazy, was because I asked Gene Taylor, I don't know if you'll play the second part of it, but I said, you know, obviously now that you've spoken with Corey and with his family, Gene Taylor said, you know, I told his family, and we as K-State told him from here on out, they probably need to work with Corey on telling him how he needs to work and handle the media a little bit better, and how he does certain things on social media. And I asked, you know, hey, has he shown remorse or been remorseful or said he's sorry for any of the stuff that he said or that he did? And Gene Taylor said that apparently some of the stuff that Corey put on Twitter was taken down, but he wasn't 100% sure of what all was taken down. But he does know that Coach Snyder and Corey have not talked to one another since the hearing or the meeting, the appeal process for him to try to transfer was rejected.
Yeah, yeah. Talk with Derek Haglund of, what, Overtime with Sal and Hag, is that correct?
It's What's on Tap, yes, but we do a little segment called Overdrive each Monday through Friday.
Overdrive,
on our ESPN Kansas City Facebook page as well.
Josh told me it's Overtime.
I typed it in the assistant producer thing. I thought that was your biggest calling card, Overtime with Sal and Hags.
Oh, no, it's Overdrive.
I know
with
it's
Sal
Overdrive. I know it's Overdrive.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, Derek, thanks for coming on with us here on a Saturday morning. We appreciate the time, and I'll see you soon.
No problem, Nick. Have a good day, man.
All right, we'll talk Royals after this with Cody Tapp. This is Sports Saturday.
This is Sports Saturday with Mick Schaefer on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
I have this track in my car right now. It's like Josh has been in my car or something.
15 bucks,
I guess.
15 bucks if you know who this is.
Artist
and song, I'll give you 15 bucks.
Oh, Kendrick Lamar, of course.
No, yeah. No, it's Drake.
I was going to guess Drake, dang it!
I can see you're going to guess Drake, which is why I said artist and song.
Oh, he's trying to go, I had Drake on the tip of my tongue, But I was like, ah, it's too obvious.
You don't
Do you know that?
I knew it was Drake. Yeah, okay. I couldn't have named the song though.
I don't know. No,
but that's hard. Like I can't name any song anymore.
Yeah, it's hard to.
But it started off going
title
like
of a song.
Worst. It's Worst Behavior.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't feel
you
like I know
that
the
in.
Names
you can't
of
chase
songs.
That. All right.
Nah. No, I'm no good at that.
Do you tweet out your successes in the spelling bee game?
I probably should have, seeing how I'm the winner.
Were you? I don't. Was you had three right or something like that?
Yeah, I had the most three or four.
Yeah,
I won.
Absolutely,
I won. I had some easy ones.
Yeah, easier.
But that's hey, that's the way that's the way the spelling bee, right?
There
you
was
don't know
one.
What you're
there
get.
Was one. There was one like six letter word like late, and I'm sure it was hard. But I'm like, it's a six letter word late in the spelling bee. Like it was stirps or something like that. I don't know what that means.
Yeah, but that can't be. Come on. You think these kids don't study hard six-letter words?
Stirps? Yeah, I want six-syllable words, okay? Yeah. It's the spelling bee, six-syllable words. Hey, is Bill Duplessis the best at reviewing?
Yeah.
According to...
I think he led the majors last year.
Yes,
okay,
11-14 this year.
I don't understand how people aren't better at it. Like, I have a TV. I feel like I'm 100%. I don't understand. Like, when I watch the TV, I'm like, okay, he's safe. There are a couple that are fringe where I'm like, I think he's safe, but I'm not sure what they're going to say.
Sure.
So in that case, maybe a challenge. Yeah. It's a big moment of the game. But you should be getting most of them, right?
I feel like...
Baseball's not that...
I feel it should be north of 80%. So he's 79%. He leads the major. I feel like that should be the average.
It's not a gray area.
No.
If they're on the base with the ball, they're out. Like, it's, you know, like... If he beats you before the ball gets there, you're
absolutely
safe.
Yeah.
There's a line.
Be,
if it's
quicker.
On one side of the line, it's foul. If it's on the other, it's you know, like it's not.
It's there's hard and fast. Yeah, I get sometimes it's
like
takes
football,
maybe a little
the
while.
Catch. You're like, oh, I don't know.
Yeah, it should be easy. If you're good with editing equipment or video or whatever, just dial it back and just take the frame right before. Okay, he's safe. Or he's out. They should know. But congratulations, Bill. Doing well. Yeah. We have breaking news. The Royals, right? You want to break it right here?
Jorge Soler optioned back to AAA. Billy Burns called up in his stead.
Nice.
He will be the backup outfielder for the time being. I guess Jorge Soler, who has essentially been rendered useless in his time because Jorge Bonifacio.
Bonifacio.
Still getting used to that. Last night, Beards was on the. He's like, are you trying to like be funny? Why do you keep calling him Bonifacio? I'm like, that's his name now.
That's it, yeah.
Jorge Bonifacio.
Bonifacio.
So, since he has made, he's been playing so well, Jorge Soler is getting zero playing time.
None.
Although Ned Yost wouldn't commit to Bonifacio being the right fielder in name, so that seems a little silly. But Jorge Soler, who does need regular at-bats if he's going to be the kind of player they want him to be. So,
yeah.
Down to AAA, and Billy Burns up. He's been in the league long enough that he can just sit on the bench and wait for his moment.
Yeah, that's going to be his deal. What do you think about Whit Merrifield? Obviously, great. 17-game hitting streak, right? Hitting eighth.
He's got to hit higher, obviously. And we talked about it a little bit with Brad. That the problem is Ned's logic can easily have holes poked in it.
Yeah.
Because he's saying, well, we need someone at the bottom of the lineup who can hit, right? We need someone who can knock in those guys who are getting on. So when Kane and Hosmer and Perez and Bonifacio all get on, and then, you know, like even some of the conversations with other people, like, well, you can't put all of those bad hitters together. I'm like, you're still putting them together. The three guys hitting below 200 are hitting 7th, 8th, and 1st.
Yeah.
You're just having to put one of... What's the difference between that and having them hit 7, 8, 9? Nothing? Zero?
I would argue the opposite. Your best hitters need to
hit
be
the
at
most.
The very start, at the top of the lineup.
How about the guys you pay, like Eric Hosmer, Salvador Perez... Yeah. Lorenzo Cain. How about the guys you pay a lot of money? How about they do the run driving in part?
Yeah.
And the guy who makes $550,000 and has a 17-game hitting streak, how about he does the getting on base part?
Yeah. No, that's
like that's the confusing part.
That's the deal. That's how it should be. You would think every lineup in I don't know, baseball history, you know, your worst hitters are at the end.
You have three hitters who completely are, you know, and Brandon Moss runs into some home runs, so at least you got that going for you. The Escobar Gordon. But you're not even separating them.
No.
They're still hitting back-to-back.
Yep.
Nothing changes. Why not just hit them back-to-back 8-9?
Sure. Like,
it seems easy, but it's where the Royals are.
Mike Moustakas has 14 home runs. Call it. How many will he end up with?
39.
41. That's the answer. Come on. Say it.
He's on pace for 43.
Is he? Yeah.
44, yeah.
Just slow down just a little bit. And
Well, here's the math, and it'll come up on pregame, but essentially he needs 23 home runs, right?
Yeah.
To break Balboni, to get to the number, to get to 37. He has 21 in his last 74 games. There are 107 games left.
Yeah.
He'd have 30 extra games to get those other two. So he's certainly well above pace the way he's been hitting right now, and he's above pace right now. But that's one of those you can't really – that's like the Chiefs taking a quarterback in the first round. Why the hell would you predict it until they actually
do it? Yeah, that's true.
It's been
same amount of time,
83 to 85, right?
Same with KU will eventually not win the Big 12 in basketball, but why the heck would you predict it until it happens? Same kind of deal.
Yeah, I'm not predicting. I'm not going to be like, well, you know, I really like Baylor's team this year. It's definitely Baylor's to win.
Yeah, there are people out there that do that.
Yeah, they're idiots. Well, and somebody, I think Sarin called me out on that once. He's like, well, he's like, you know, if you always predict the easy thing, because I can't remember what we were talking about, just like a player in the NFL, like, well, if you always predict the easy thing, then you're very likely to ever be wrong. I'm like, yeah, but if I always just predict the outlandish thing, no one's going to ever hold me accountable.
Yeah.
If I'm like, well, there's a chance that KU could lose the Big 12. If I say that, then no one's going to hold me. You're not really holding yourself accountable either. Also, if I had done that five times, I would have looked silly with Kansas. But yeah, no, it's probably high time. I mean, right now, offense wise, the middle of the pack. That's the problem. They're not the Royals' real problem, to be honest, is that they're not great at anything. They have a league average bullpen, a league average starting rotation, and a bad offense. And you can get away with league average. And actually be competitive in their division this year, but they used to be great at something.
Yep,
Holland had 20 saves in 22, 22 tries and or 22 games that he appeared in. It's that's it. They're just not great at anything.
Was last night's Vargas performance like the greatest shutout you've ever seen? That could have gone really bad. I mean, he allowed four leadoff hitters on, right? They ended up
seven hits.
Four double plays, gave up. Seven hits was fine over nine innings, and I say really bad, but I mean, you look at the line, man, he was dominating, and he was, but you're like, he didn't create trouble, but he made sure it didn't happen even after some mistakes.
No, it was, I would take away, it's not a dominating complete game shutout, but it's impressive from a different perspective. The fact that he is able, his control is still so good that he's able to get those ground balls consistently.
Yeah.
And, a couple of them took nice plays, right? That Escobar turn was pretty sweet. The backhand spin around, that was a pretty good double play.
Yeah.
Right? So you're not always going to get that one. But, I mean, you're able to get all those ground balls, and at times you needed them, no matter. And he never really let guys advance. Like, he got in trouble by letting leadoff guys on, but that was kind of it. He shut it down pretty quickly. It never really got much hairier than that. And, with only three strikeouts, he kept getting guys to get out. I thought it was incredibly impressive.
Very good, and exactly what you need to save the bullpen ahead of a Jason Hamill start, correct?
Absolutely, and a day off. I mean,
the
bullpen is as rested as it gets. So if he's starting to look rocky in the fifth, like he did in the last game, right? Four real clean innings, and then the fifth they got ugly in a hurry, and Minor couldn't save it. I think it was Minor behind him who couldn't save it. Maybe go to the bullpen a little sooner today if you need to, because this is a really lopsided pitching matchup, Carrasco and Hamill, based on the way they're pitching.
Yeah.
And Skoglund, the rookie, is going to go tomorrow. And you know what the Sunday lineup's going to look like, right? Drew Butera, Billy Burns.
Yep.
Like, just assume whatever that Sunday lineup looks like is not the most dedicated offensive unit of all time. Yeah. So getting the win today, I'd say play for the win big today. And just let tomorrow lie where it is. But go to the bullpen early if you need to.
Who you got on the pregame show, Baseball Tonight, coming up at noon here?
We'll have Sarin Petro and Jamie Bluma in our moment with Monty, and then we'll hear from Whit Merrifield and Brandon Moss talk about a couple of those guys in pregame as well. So we'll talk more about Jorge Soler getting sent down to AAA and Billy Burns coming up, because they traded Wade Davis for that. And I will argue to my grave that trading him made sense, because they thought his elbow was going to explode.
Sure.
Because
he was traded for might be the problem.
The position they targeted appears to be a mistake, because Jorge Bonifacio looks like he can play.
And you've said, the Bonifacio thing, that's what makes it the worst. Okay, you have this guy that,
he's not even like Whit Merrifield, he's not 27, he's 23.
Yeah.
He was coming off of seasons with 17 and 19 home runs in AAA with 800 slugging percentages in both years. So, I mean, there were reason to think he was going to be good.
No.
Yeah, that's the problem. The position the trade is not the problem. The position you targeted is.
So if you're Jorge Soler, you had the injury early, you just wanted, they want him to play, right? They want him to.
Jorge Bonifacio's made it hard for him to play, and they want him to play. That's it. They need him to get every day at bats.
Absolutely.
I don't know who he's taking him away from. That's the other problem, too, by the way. the chain reaction of this is they're still trying to develop Bubba Starling, and Hunter Dozier just got reassigned to AAA. So now it's like you have you still have too many corner outfielders.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Eventually the Royals are going to have to make the decision on who to walk from in this scenario, who to trade, who to move, who they think they can move, because at this point right now they've got too many corner outfielders. Unless Alex Gordon's moving to first or retiring and I didn't hear about it, they've got too many corner outfielders.
All right, Cody, thanks so much for the time. We appreciate you doing post-game show as well, I imagine.
No post. Sporting Kansas City starts.
Oh, that's right. Big day. No post, so we have baseball tonight, and then we have Sporting Kansas City at 4.
Yes.
And I imagine the final whistle after that.
Correct.
Big day here on Sports Radio 810. Cody, we appreciate the time, man.
No problem. Thanks.
For Charlie Carlin a little bit, Josh Briscoe mostly, Brad Porter, Jarrett Sutton, who else?
Tim Fitzgerald,
Derek Haglund. Probably some others I've forgotten. I'm Mick Schaefer. We'll see you next time right here on Sports Radio 810 and Sports Saturday.